Perfect. Hello, welcome in everybody to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 47, season 2, episode 13 overall, I do believe. This one titled, for obvious reasons, Double Dud. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, or whatever's left of him. We thank you for spending part of your Memorial Day with us if you're here in the good old US of A, or just your Monday evening, depending on where you are around these parts, parts unknown, as they say. So, I'm Logan Loganity Morris, as I have said, and I don't do this alone. Let's bring in the cast of characters that's with me for this week. Let's bring him in, my favorite Canadian for the next hour and yours, and it's not Adam Carabine. It's, look, it's the savant of the 30-second read. It's the maestro of the comment. I'm talking about Matt Moore. Come on in here, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey, Logan. How's it going?
It's going well, brother. Another show, another day. Are you ready to talk some controversial racing?
Listen, my mind's been just circling from this whole weekend in the past 24 hours. Like, I have thoughts, I got opinions. I'm ready to talk.
Same. So let's get to it. But first, let's bring in my better half, the lady that is making all the things happen from behind the scenes, and we thank the good Lord above for that. She's the prettiest woman on this show. She's much better looking than you or I. Let's bring her in. She didn't have a great Coke 600. Her guy didn't do so well. Producer Peggy, come on in here. Producer Peggy, hi.
Hello.
Hello, Peggy.
That's one of those hellos I get when I've done something wrong. So, what did I do wrong?
I finally got in the mail the championship car I ordered. It only took however many months it's been since November.
Diecast take forever. They do. They take, especially if you're getting like a brand new one. It's like Billy Joel. It's for the longest time.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't have a great Coke 600. What were your, your boy Ryan Blaney had issues and was the second car out of the race besides JJ Haley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I slept through that though. So.
Nice. Yeah, I was watching you on the couch there while I was eating a little Chipotle Orderly. I'm not going to say their actual name because they don't sponsor it.
I was flipping back and forth between the Indy 500 and the Coke 600, to be honest with you. They were starting to overlap each other.
Well, yeah, they were. We're going to talk all about that. But Peggy, any final words before we let you go and we talk some race?
I'm really disappointed on how everything ended, but I'm sure you guys will talk more about that. But since I won't be a part of that, I will voice my displeasure now and say that it disappointed me.
And well, that's the call disappointed you? Is that what you were saying?
The decision to end the race disappointed me.
I don't think you're alone in that, but what do you say we talk about that and get it kicked off in a big way? with our weekend review. All right, as always, we thank producer Peggy for all her fine work on the graphics. That's right, Christopher Bell won a very rained, shortened Coke 600. I really, it was like the Coke 375-ish.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Richard Petty won the Daytona 450 in 74. Energy crisis. Fun fact, you know, it was called the Daytona 500, but they went 50 miles shorter. So, anywho, let's talk about it. Christopher Bell won a rain shortened race, and unfortunately, the racing is not what sticks out to you for this crown jewel event. It is the very controversial call to end the race because we were beyond halfway. We'd gone about 373.5, somewhere in that, you know, half beyond halfway, and they made the call, NASCAR did, to postpone, well, not postpone, but end the race. And let me paint the picture for you, Matt, and then I'll let you have the floor. That in the lead up to that, it looked very obvious to me that they were going to do everything they could to get this in. We had dryers on the track. They were going to give it a go. I mean, you had Bob Popper saying that midnight-ish, but that might be wishful thinking. But every indication was we're going to get back racing. And then out of nowhere, they cut to Mike Joy, Kevin Harvick, and Clint Bowyer, who break the news to us that they have made the race official due to, what they perceived to be, they couldn't get the track dry as they would have liked. We'd be racing late in the night like we haven't done that a time or 40, but I'll share my opinions in a moment. Matt, what were your thoughts? What was your mindset when we had this crown jewel cut significantly short and really in surprising fashion, in my view?
So I get it. It's, you know, past halfway. It's technically a, the race is basically official after halfway. But you're in your backyard, essentially. Charlotte Motor Speedway, all the teams around, you know, heck, even like RFK Racing, they had to go do a backup car for Chris Buescher. They literally took a trailer, just went to the shop, picked one up, came back. So it's not like they could have just stayed there for next to, you know, a few hours or a day to get this, race finished. And besides, when we look at the whole thing, you know, Kyle Larson literally showed the track as they called the race official. You know, so there's so much going on. And I've literally stayed up till 2 a.m. on a Tuesday, watching the Daytona 500 after, you know, a bunch of rain delays and whatnot, what have you, many years ago. So it's just, I don't know, I'm kind of dumbfounded. Like, they had all the drying equipment, had all the jet dryers, air tightens and whatnot, and they first paused the race for lightning, then they had a rainstorm, and it just, I don't know, they were saying at 1 a.m. too late, even though, like I said, you're literally in your backyard. This is your hometown, your home track race. Do we not just, you know, say call it a day and come back and finish in that afternoon? Like, I get it. The next race is in St. Louis. I don't know how to pronounce the actual pronunciation of the city.
It's St. Louis. Sometimes we call it St. Louis for short and for fun, but it's, yeah, St. Louis.
So in St. Louis, so like, yes, you do have to prep the next car to get to that next track, but you know, you're only a hop, skip, and a jump over to their shop to do that. You don't have to drive back to, you know, take a 2-day haul to get there and then another 3-day haul to the racetrack, right? So it's just, where's the logistics of not finishing this race?
I don't understand it. I not to mention, I know it's not a big deal for you Canadians, and that's fine. We all have our customs and our cultures. Today's a holiday for the US of A due to Memorial Day. Therefore,
we had a holiday last week. It usually coincides, but yeah, no, I get it.
Therefore, I mean, like you said, on top of the fact you're in the backyard, most people are going home sleeping in their beds, and that's wonderful, by the way. There's no logical, like 90% of this country doesn't have to work today. There is no reason we couldn't have have started at, say, 1:30 a.m. Eastern time and finished it off. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a late night for the crews and the media. I get that. But, again, 90% of this country doesn't have to work the next day. And so people pay hard-earned money to come watch the Coke 600, not the Coke 375. And when you couple that with the fact, in my estimation, Matt, that this is not a crown jewel. This is the crown jewels are supposed to be the 4 to 5 races, depending on how you count a crown jewel, that mean a little more, that are a little extra. Not to mention, this is technically your highest paying points race of the year with the extra stage in the lane. I don't understand it. Even worse was the about face. Maybe I'm misremembering, Matt, but I feel like I don't want to say it was clear, but it appeared very likely that by all intents and purposes, they were planning on going back racing. I mean, that had that feel. They weren't even leaving the track that often. They were showing the drier progress. And then they do this about face, and I mean, poor Mike Joy, Kevin Harvick, and Clint Bowyer, who have to be the bearer of bad news to everybody watching at home. I mean, we're ready to throw tomatoes at the TV. Frankly, Mike Joy deserves better to be put in that spot. I don't understand it. This is supposed to be a crown jewel. Nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, the grand majority doesn't have to work the next day. What in the world are we doing? Just an absolute asinine decision, in my view. Any other thoughts?
Well, you pretty well nailed it on the head. Like, it's technically the highest paying points race of the season with 4 stages. You know, 3, you have a chance of getting 30 stage points, basically. And like, lots of playoff points on the table for it. But also, like, I remember, I think it was 2009, when David Ruderman won it. Yeah, it was. They had like several rain delays, and it was finished on a Monday, or even, you know, there was a lot going on in that time that they had to cut it short. But there was a lot more rain delays involved, and they had to miss another day for it. So I understand in that regard for that race. But where, so typically, if there's a threat of weather coming, shouldn't there be some proceedings that either get canceled or pushed to the side a little bit more? Like, the obviously the like moment of silence for Memorial Day is important, but that could have been, in my opinion, could have been done right before they started engines, not halfway point, getting cars down pit road and turn it off, because that just shuts everything down for, you know, not just a moment. That's like 10 minutes, you know, you got to get the pace car out there and then back. And, you know, it's just it was something that if we could have got probably an extra 20 laps in, and if we made the lap 300, I would have been okay with, you know, calling an official race at that point. If, you know, we then had that rain delay, because 300 laps is, it's going to be 500 miles, right? So that's more than what we got.
No, I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, while the moment of silence is cool, and I think worthy, and I'm not a hater of it, but in that, you're right, in that moment where if you think rain is coming, that's a 5 to 10 minute piece of business of bringing them all down, and then you start it back up, do the pace laps again. Yeah, we could have got more. What perplexes me the most, Matt, is the way they completely turned on a dime. Well, we're probably going to get this thing going. I mean, members of the media, Noah Lewis was one that tweeted out, you know, get yourself a cup of coffee, folks. It's going to be a long night. That gives the indication that they were told, all right, we're gonna pretty much hang out and do this thing. And then Joe Gibbs even said that he was told right before they called it that they were going to called the drivers to the cars in about 15 minutes, to the point that he was putting his stuff back on to go get back on the box.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. Frankly,
I was looking at threads. Like, I saw, you know, posts of teams and like crew members, like making pots of coffee and stuff like that, getting ready. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, they're all understanding that they're getting ready to go back racing.
Yeah, I feel like this, whether it's their fault or not, this is a microcosm of what has become of the Fox broadcast portion of the schedule. And I don't know if it's their fault or not. I know there's some rumors it was a Fox call. I can't say for sure that it was. I feel like it was, but I can't say that for sure. I'm so perplexed and baffled that they didn't have the foresight to be like, hey, if we're going to call this thing, let's do it while the rains are absolutely pouring on this track so we don't look like absolute doofuses. Because if they called it 10 minutes after that storm opened up, I don't think anybody could have complained. I'm like, boy, that's going to take a while in the whole deal. But they were making solid progress, and the rain had stopped for a while. They even let the fans back into the stands, according to Twitter, from what I saw. And then they just did an about face. I'm just very, very disappointed in NASCAR. And usually I'm not, you know, a lot of people are always complaining if they ran out of race. Usually I understand where they're coming from, you know, the travel and all that sort of thing. But as you mentioned so appropriately, there's not any major travel because you are in the backyard. I mean, even if you somehow lost a day to set up or wrap a car, you have a block or two to go. You'll be all right. We can, you know, you can probably grab lunch on the way there, but I don't know. I'm usually very benefit of the doubt to NASCAR. I know they're in a tough spot. There's a lot more than just the drivers and the crews to think about. But when you're at the home base and a crown jewel on a holiday weekend, and I mean, it's a packed house, sold out, you got celebrities and politicians in the building, and you just make a very odd, strange, and frankly, I think absolutely wrong call. I don't know what to say, but we'll have to move on. Any final thoughts on the weather issue?
Well, I know we're not placing blame on anyone specifically, but to Charlotte Motor Speedway did announce a new president of the track, literally like a day before race day. So I don't know if there was any play in him making a decision on that. But yeah, it did not fold out the way anyone wanted to.
I was so frustrated last night. I was talking to mutual friends of ours, and I'm you'd think I'm at the track because I'm just peeved. Like I'm here sitting up. I've got my caffeine going. I'm like, all right, we got 150 laps here. This is going to be a bit of a night. And damn it, are you kidding me? Oh, I was hot.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just. It's like that. How do I want to put this appropriately? It's like when you have your heart set on, I'm going to go to this restaurant today, and I'm going to get this meal today, and you don't even need the menu. And you sit down and you go, I'll have the such and such, whatever that may be, right? Oh, we're out of that. Mother trucker, dude. What?
Oh, I've been there before. I've done that before.
Yeah, that's what last night's Coke 600 resumption felt like. We're going to get it. It's going to be fine. Then all of a sudden, nope, we're out of that particular meatloaf you're looking for. So sorry. Just very, very disappointing in my estimation. But we'll move on to Gateway and St. Louis in a bit. But first, there's more to talk about. Kyle Larson, I'll tell you what, there might be a literal rain cloud over him because not only did he have the rain at Charlotte and never got to see a lap inside the five car, there was a massive delay, about a 4-hour delay or so. For the Indianapolis 500, and so that pretty much screwed the pooch on it being the true double. But we thought, well, you'll at least get some laps in Charlotte. Look, I know a lot of people have opinions. I'm gonna start with mine. I personally feel like, and I totally understand how cool the Indy 500 is. I totally respect it. It is. Quite possibly, very likely, the biggest motorsports race, period. The only one that you could possibly put up with it is you know, Monaco or the Daytona 500, and, you know, we can have that debate. What's up, Ryan? How are you, brother? We can have that debate. It's a wonderful one. That's not what this show's here for. We'll do that on a night we don't have enough content. I personally feel like, especially because in the weeks before, Matt, Larson and Hendrick had said NASCAR is going to be our priority if weather were to pop up. They said that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. There's been plenty of media during the month of May, obviously, with it being Indy. I was disappointed of the choice that Larson made. I respect it. I know it's the more prestigious race, but damn it, NASCAR is your full-time gig. That's what's paying the bills and yada, yada, yada. But I respect the fact he's got that right to make the choice. I respect that. I do. But, you know, he's going to end up getting a waiver, I'm sure. And look, we can go round and round about it. I don't think he should get a waiver, Matt. I know that's a hot take. I know that's an unpopular opinion.
I don't think it's a hot take at all, because I don't think he deserves one either.
Because choices, my friend, have consequences. And I totally respect his choice and his right, and it's the Indy 500, and maybe he never does it again. I doubt it, given – I doubt that's the case. I think he will do it again probably multiple times. But I understand the prestige and all that. Choices have consequences. He's got every right to want to race at 500 and stay there if that's what he wishes to do. But the NASCAR rules state very clearly you need to start every race to be eligible. It does not state unless you have a really cool double or the rain gets in the way. And I know they're going to give him the waiver. It's Hendrick Motorsports. It's a very big deal. And I understand the argument for that. But I don't think he should get one. You make your choice. Choices have consequences. Rules are rules. It is what it is. Any thoughts on that, Matt?
So you said that you understand the argument for it. I don't think there is an argument for it. He should just flat out not get one, because I understand, I fully understand, like, you know, drivers who had gotten injured getting a waiver, and as long as they're able to get back in top 30 in points and, you know, get a win to make the playoffs, just like, you know, we saw Kyle Busch did a number of years, like 10 years ago, and, you know, a couple other drivers who've gotten injured and got the playoff waiver. Now, so we saw Chase Elliott get injured last year, got a waiver for that, and then got a suspension, and then got a waiver for that too. I don't – prioritizing other races and suspensions, I don't think should be considered eligible for waivers for playoffs. You know, you make your choice to make a done move to get suspended, and you make another race a priority over, like you said, the one that's paying the bills, the one that you're committed to into a championship for. Now, granted, I respect Kyle Larson's decision to stay at Indy. He had a great shot at winning up until it was about 40 laps ago. He had a speeding penalty in pit road, and that pretty well cost him the shot. I do think he's going to go back next year, and I think it's going to be a cool partnership seeing Hendrick and Aaron McLaren and Zach Brown and that kind of side going on. So to me, that's all fine. It's just if NASCAR decides to give him a waiver because of this, that's a very bad precedent of saying, oh, hey, I can just skip a race and they'll give me a waiver.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, when I say I understand the argument for it, is this. I've seen it, and I get what people are saying. You know, you should make an exception for something that is so cool and unique and bring positive press to both series. And I hear that argument, but at the end of the day, your full-time gig is NASCAR. And so that is what I feel should take precedent. And in Larson and Hendrick's case, I even feel less bad about it, or less conflicted about it, because they, sort of like NASCAR last night with the Coke 600, they didn't about face, because 3 weeks ago they said that's what would take priority. They said Kyle Larson, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm pretty darn sure, unless I'm having a Mandela effect moment here, Matt, that they pretty much said that if weather were to take place, the Coke 600 would be the priority. Well, suddenly that changed in a hurry. Ryan, let us know what you think. Anybody else in the comments, let us know what you think. Should Kyle Larson get a waiver? That is the question. Now, it's probably a moot point. He's probably going to get it. Let's just be honest about it.
And I get the decision to stay in Indy because, you know, as Kyle mentioned during his interview, like leading up to the green flag, like during the rain delay, he said, you know, they worked on this program for like a year and a half. A lot's been going into it. between the, between marketing, between like Hendrick, between Air McLaren. So I get it. But like we said, your focus should be on the championship at hand. And, you know, I tip my hat to Justin Allgaier, who stepped in last minute to, you know, run the Coke 600. You finished 13th, never ran last in an next gen car. Kudos to him. But Kyle needs to understand, like, he's, if you're in the Cup Series and you're running for a championship, that is your goal.
You know, before his scandal, it was kind of well known that as talented as he is, his heart isn't really in NASCAR. You know, he's much more of a, you know, he's much more of a dirt guy and all that. And I thought after his scandal and all that, you know, having this kind of taken away from him, I thought it kind of reinvigorated his passion for the NASCAR portion of motorsports. But, you know, I just don't know if he's ever been obsessed with NASCAR. You know, I don't know if he's that. I know he enjoys it. I know he loves it. But I don't know if he lives it, if that makes sense. I know, I'm not trying to question his commitment, but I just feel like he's got a lot of different commitments. And, you know, I know, cool for the sport, cool for both series. But frankly, it's cooler for IndyCar. IndyCar gets a couple extra viewers from us NASCAR people, and I'm not putting down IndyCar. We try to cover it as best we can on Racing Refresh. But walking aside, we're kind of NASCAR people. We tune in, I eyeball the Indy 500 every year, but I had certainly renewed interest because of Kyle Larson, and I know we're not the only ones. And so I know it was cool for both series, but it felt like IndyCar, in wrestling terms, got the rub a whole lot more. And it just, you know, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And yes, Kyle Larson can't help the weather, but here's the reality of it, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle Larson didn't run a lap of the Coke 600. You can make an argument if he finishes the back half and, all right, he did all he could, weather got in the way. You can make an argument that we're just being some fuddy-duddy stricklers if that's what happens.
Yeah, and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, but that's not what happened. He gets there, and because he's literally transporting a rain cloud with him, the skies open up, NASCAR makes the controversial and I think boneheaded decision to call the race. And so Kyle Larson doesn't run a lap. He didn't just miss the start of the race. He missed the entire race. That's it. And not a suspension, not nothing. He sat there. And I feel for Kyle Larson as a human being. You know, this isn't what he wanted. He doesn't want us to be able to say this is called double dud on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. He wanted to say this is called, damn it, I went out and ran 1,100 miles, win, lose, or draw. And so I know they're going to give him the waiver. And the reason that bothers me is just because of the inconsistency and the make it up as they go along in NASCAR. If that's not a rule, then take it out of the rule book. And then I have no problem.
Yeah, I think this decision is going to, I think it's going to probably have implications of also with the charter system. Because if you're designating charters for certain cars, for certain drivers to be able to start every single race, you know, if they miss a race, you know, why are they getting waivers for playoff eligibility? Why, like, you know,
I mean, they give them out like they're candy, and it's really frustrating. The only time I think a waiver should be given out is if you are hurt competing in a NASCAR sanctioned event. That is where because that's your job. That's the risk you took. I don't think there should be one given to Alex Bowman last year for getting hurt in a sprint car. I think that's awful, but that is your personal choice that you choose that hobby on the side. Same thing with Kyle Larson, whomever else. Hopefully no one ever gets hurt again. But I didn't think they should have gave one to Chase Elliott. You want to snowboard, that's your business, but that is not NASCAR's problem. We got to keep moving along. Chase Elliott got the win in Xfinity Series. You know, not much to say here. It was a strategy filled race, lots of different strategies. Matt, did you have your eye on this one? I did. I thought a lot of different strategies played out. I thought it was a pretty competitive race and good to see. And I know not everybody's a Chase guy, and some people love him. He's kind of NASCAR Jesus. But I thought it was cool to see Chase Elliott get a win in that old Ricky Hendricks team.
I will say congratulations to Chase Elliott. I feel bad for Justin Allgaier, who dominated the race and had an unfortunate accident in the final stage. But I did not catch the race only because I was working at the my local track. So shout out to Jarrett Butcher winning the local guy winning late model race. But congrats to Chase Elliott on that winning the Xfinity Series. I mean, it's a good thing to keep the momentum up for.
Yeah, I mean, track time's always good. That's one thing that in this era of NASCAR, drivers don't get enough of, in my view, is track time. In the Truck Series, Nick Sanchez got his second win of his career and second win of the year for Rev Racing. It was notable that Corey Heim, who absolutely dominated that race for the most part, it was Heim time until... until the clock stopped on Heim time. They found, I believe, three loose lug nuts on his wheel, and they deemed that to be unsafe enough to DQ him. And so all that good run is moot. So Corey Heim finishes last. Good for Nick Sanchez. You know, he's a young up-and-comer. I know he won Daytona. Did you catch this one? If so, any thoughts?
I caught most of that one. I kind of fell asleep toward the very end because it was pretty kind of drawn out. I found it kind of like follow the leaderish.
Sure.
It was disappointing on Corey Heim being disqualified. But now, considering that we're seeing penalties for missing lug nuts for being unsafe even in the Truck Series, are we going to have talks of a next gen truck or something like that with a single lug nut eventually?
I think there comes a day, yeah.
Just because we're starting to, if young drivers getting through the ranks are going to be seeing eventually a cup ride later on, they have to be starting. They should be able to start at some point seeing some of these pieces be involved, even like the Xfinity and Truck Series. That way, okay, this is what you should expect when you get to the big show.
Yeah, I think there will be a day that things are a little bit more uniform. I really do think so. We'll see what happens. But yeah, good for Nick Sanchez getting the win. Again, sucks for Corey Heim. He was putting on a show in the middle of that race. I mean, he could do things with his truck that nobody. It looked, and I don't want to overstate or have hyperbole here, folks, but it looked kind of Kyle Busch-esque. In terms of the dominance he was able to put on and come from the back because he had some pit issues. It sucks to see a great run like that get DQ'd and then be completely moot, because while it's fun to think about on the stat sheet, it means absolutely nada now, because that's the way the cookie crumbles these days for NASCAR. All right, in IndyCar, Joseph Newgarden went back-to-back. He won the Indy 500. Pato O'Ward had his heart broken. And if you don't think the Indy 500 doesn't mean everything to everybody that lines up on that grid, look at Pato. I had flipped over to the Coke 600 and pretty much tuned out of the Indy 500 by that point, by the end, because obviously I had my eye on Carl Larson. The speeding penalty took him out of contention for a good finish. But so if you scoured social media, Matt, it was heartbreaking.
I watched the entire Indy 500 just because I love watching the Indy 500. It's always a great show. It doesn't matter if it's NASCAR drivers competing in as well, trying for the double. I am curious to know. I can't remember how many starts Pato Award has in the Indy 500. I think it's only like five or six. Definite heartbreak, with Newgarden making that move. Coming to turn three. But in terms of heartbreak, though, I mean, he's like, Pato's only made a handful of starts. How do we compare that to, say, heartbreak of, Kyle Busch hasn't won Daytona 500 and he's tried 18 times now? Or, Brad Keselowski, he's, come close a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. He was, this close, but he wasn't that close. He still had half a racetrack basically, and couldn't make it up in two turns. So, I mean, last lap passes happen all the time. Yeah. It was a lot of emotion to watch, a lot of emotion to see in his face, and it's good that he's passionate about it and it's definitely going to, you know, give him more fire, more motivation for it next year. But I don't think it's on the same scale of heartbreak as guys who have been going for those big races and haven't done it for 15 plus years.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Obviously, the 20 years of trying for Dale Sr. Really, we're getting there with Martin Truex.
Yeah.
He just, for whatever reason, he can't get off the proverbial schneid when it comes to super speedways. No, I feel for Pedro, but I also love the passion, you know. As you know, yes, we're media here at Racing Refresh, but we're fans first and foremost. And I love to see that it means as much to them as it means to us, if not more. Because, I don't know, we're all nuts, right? And we put we schedule our Sundays around these things, and we live and die with every lap. And it's nice to know. We know they do too, but it's nice to visibly see that from time to time. It really is. It's a nice refresher. Kyle Larson finished 18th after the speeding penalty. You know, we got to keep moving along. But what were your thoughts on his day? I thought he was extremely impressive, all things considered. Sure, some rookie moments, obviously, but I thought he was really incredible, and nothing surprised me because I think he's arguably the most talented driver in our NASCAR field. What were your thoughts?
I mean, not only the most talented driver in the NASCAR field, but arguably one of the most talented drivers in the entire world. You know, he jumps in an IndyCar, has a few practice sessions, runs some of the fastest laps we've ever seen, gets a top five starting spot for the Indy 500, and he runs, you know, around 6 to 8 most of the day up until the speeding penalty. If, in my mind, if he hadn't gotten the speeding penalty, he would have been, you know, top five for sure. You know, had a shot, you know, to make a shot for the win. Which again, if he had that shot, it would have been justifiable saying, okay, yeah, it was worth it for him to stay at the Indy 500. But yeah, no, he didn't. But good day overall, and I hope he does keep trying for it, and hopefully he does. Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing him have a strong relationship with Errol McLaren, and Zach Brown to maybe eventually see, you know, maybe a few starts in Formula One come around. You know, I still think he's young enough, and he has that talent still to show Max Verstappen what he's really made of.
No, I think the sky is the limit for Kyle Larson in all the motorsports. I think he's the modern day Tony Stewart in the sense of there's nothing he can't drive. If you gave him enough time in anything, I mean, Tony Stewart's still out there proving that with success in Funny Car right now. But I think he's the modern. He's kind of the Tony Stewart of the 2020s with the way. I think if you put him in anything, he can win in anything with minimal amount of time. You know, a lot of these guys are extremely talented and could probably pull it off. Not putting down any car at all. It's just we have some of the best drivers in the world. But Kyle Larson is on a different level that maybe only Kyle Busch compares to. I mean, it's a real top echelon class. And so we got to keep moving. But I want to ask you, yay or nay, do you think he tries the double again next year, given how this year went?
I 100% believe he does. Maybe they plan it a little bit better and have a little better backup plan, or maybe to keep track of the weather a little better. And I don't know, maybe NASCAR has more implication saying, okay, we'll do this for you or whatever to try to make sure you get in, or, you know, make a second half of the race. I don't know, but I believe, especially after looking at the kind of say like soft, like story to himself, like message he put on Instagram and Twitter, you know, how heartbroken he was for everyone involved in it, you know, from Hendrick to Aaron McLaren, like the whole team, both teams around it, you know, he almost like he has to go back and you know, make it right in a sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, get a little redemption because it's one thing to try and fail. it's another thing for the weather to completely take it from you. And so, I think it's a bitter taste, and I agree. I think that, I know they haven't said publicly, but I think very much that he'll be attempting it again in 2025. And we look forward to that, and I hope it goes better for him. I just hope he doesn't forget where his bread is buttered, for lack of a better term. All right. Charles Leclerc won at Monaco. Monaco had some lap one shenanigans, let's say. Matt, did you get up? Did you watch Monaco?
I sure did, and I won't lie. I was actually I started my morning at 10 a.m. cracking a beer, watching Monaco.
Oh, yeah. Getting going.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I kind of was hoping that Colin would be on the show today, because I got a brain to pick on this one, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Three things. Why is Monaco still a track that exists on the F1 schedule? The cars are too big for it. They can't pass. The whole top ten stayed in top ten the entire race. So lap one, Carlos Sainz gets a puncture tire from Oscar Piastri. Even though when watching the replay, Piastri came out of the room, Sainz came up against him and went wide and made contact. And then later on, there was a wreck involving Kevin Magnussen, his Haas teammate Nico Hülkenberg, and Red Bull driver. Sergio Perez, which put the race under red flag, and they actually restarted the race from the very beginning, but gave Carlos Sainz his position back, which I didn't think was right, because he had the puncture before the wreck even happened. So why does he deserve to have his position brought back? Why did he get his position back?
No, I completely agree. I like you. I miss our open wheel guru. I would have loved to get his thoughts. I know he's busy working the shoot job, so to speak. So hopefully we get his thoughts real soon. Monaco, I think, is still on the schedule because it's Monaco. But yeah, you're right. It's a no passing zone. It's like what every great NFL defense or Canadian Football League defense would dream of. There's no passing. There's none of that. I understand the prestige and the honor, and it's part of the greatest day in motorsports, but man, is it a tough watch, especially unless you're cracking a brewski like you are. That's early in the morn right there. And it's early, and you know what happens when you get bored that early and bored to bat? I don't know about you, but I go back to sleep.
Listen, it was, I will say,
the founder, AJ, how are you, my friend? How are you?
I will say, after watching Monaco, it was kind of uphill from there, thinking, okay, it needs to be good to make a Coke 600 later on, and we know how that day played out.
But I'm like, man, I don't know how y'all do this. This is, because again, when I get bored that early in the morning, I'm getting a little sleepy. Getting a little sleepy, Matt, and it's just brutal. I know AJ was at the Indy 500. He was dodging rain. And then beautiful sunshine. But, I don't know what the future holds for Monaco and F1. I know the prestige and history, but, man, it is a tough watch.
Yeah, they were able to change tires at the red flag, and then they couldn't pit afterwards after that. I don't know if they have a tire limitation or what, but they were all managing tires and driving super slow because of it. I don't know. To me, it was a bit of a mess. And they got to find a way to wind that track out, or because it's a street circuit too, so there's not a lot of room to grow. But I don't know. To me, it doesn't really belong on there. If you can't make, there's already not enough passing in Formula One in my mind. But if you go to a track that's basically where you're qualifying, and then you're finishing right then and there. So, to me, it doesn't make sense. It has no logical place on the F1 schedule in my mind.
No, I hear you again. I think it's mostly just due to nostalgia and the history and tradition. All right, we got to keep moving along. So that means it's time for our happy hour headlines. As my dog is super excited about it. Matt, we didn't do a show last week due to pretty much schedules and busy and all that sort of thing. So let's talk a little bit, not a whole lot. The Stenhouse and Bush kerfluffle at North Wilkesboro. Stenhouse is not going to appeal his fine. What was your take? What was your take on the kerfluffle?
There was a lot going on. If I'm remembering correctly, Stenhouse kind of initiated the contact of everything because, you know, diving in on lap two, of a 200 lap event, I get it's a short track, but, you know, just I've watched a lot of short track racing, especially like, and with 200 laps, that's plenty of time to make your way through a field. And I get, you know, Joey Logano dominated race, so there was not a lot going on in terms of battling up front anyways. But just for the sake of it, why Kyle Busch mentioned, why is he diving in that quickly to, you know, make up a spot or two on lap one, right? I think the $75,000 fine is a little overkill. I will say, but I don't know. The whole fight was just stupid in my mind. It was entertaining, and we got a couple of meme quality images of Bob Pockris trying to get out of the scuffle, and you know, see Ricky standing against Kyle Busch's holler. Like, there was an entertainment factor to it, but I can't agree with, you know, the whole thing. Like, what? Like, why was there a fight afterwards? Why was there a fine? Like, Kyle Busch didn't get fined. Like,
you know, I think it was because, and I thought Larry and Matt made a good point in the pre-race. I think it was because of just it got so out of hand, and when you saw, I mean, bodies are flying, and they felt like they had to do something, and so. And I thought Mike Joy made a great point that, you know, a lot of us didn't know, and I certainly didn't know, you know, as much as they promote the 79-500 and the big fight, apparently those gentlemen were fined quite heavily for the time. And so that means that's a consistent call from NASCAR. I mean, that's passed down from generations right there. So I thought Mike Joy made some good points, and I thought Larry Mack hit the nail on the head. Like you, I think the fine is a little overkill, but I think with the way that it was looking rather unsafe there for a few minutes, I kind of get why they felt like they had to send some sort of message. I think that the reason Stenhouse gets fined is because not only is he the one that tried to cold cock Kyle Busch, he announced to everybody in the world that's what was going to happen. He waited and stewed on it for 2 hours and then still did it. And so, yeah, I think that given the premeditated kind of fashion of it, I mean, if you commit a serious crime, and I mean, I know it's not the same thing, so understand I'm being a little hyperbolic here, folks. They'll get you more if they feel like, well, you premeditated that. And so that became premeditated for Stenhouse. And as fun as it was to see, and look, I love a good old-fashioned Donnybrook. Nothing wrong with that in my view. Boys have at it. The people that go, well, why are they promoting it? They're going to find it. I think they felt like they had to, given, I'm not going to decide, while it's a great image, Bob Pockris's image points of, like, for a second there was Bob Pockris ain't got nothing to do with this. He shouldn't be in danger.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be in any, you know, he, as a member of the media, he, you, I, whatever, we don't sign up for let's go ahead and play offensive tackle and essentially do some blocking for everybody. And so I think that is why that probably some fines and suspensions came down despite their promotion of it. Because I think it was getting unsafe for people that didn't have a whole lot to do with anything, and it was going way too far. That's just my take. Any thoughts on that?
For one, I will say I didn't know that, Donnie and Cale got fined back then. We never hear about it.
Yeah, Mike Joy broke that news during the rain delay.
Yeah, we always hear about, you know, people who have gotten fined in the last, you know, 10, 15 years for stuff like that. But you're right. When we see, you know, ads, promos, whatever, sometimes there is a, you know, an image of a fight going on, which partially I think it does draw an audience too. Like you put a promotion saying, you know, this is what does or can happen at an NASCAR race. You'll get more viewers or people who are interested in that and want to, you know, they'll see a good race and, you know, maybe there's a fight that breaks out because someone tempers got flared and, but, yeah, I agree with you when it comes to that fight. It was unnecessary, especially with the amount of violence that was happening around, like, the media there. Everyone was just trying to see what the conversation was, especially you couldn't really hear what the fireworks going on in the background. And then all of a sudden you see a right hook from Stenhouse and everything just broke loose.
It kind of devolved from there. Like, it's fun to watch and it's something that we're going to talk about with, and it's another legendary moment in the All-Star race. And so, I mean, they will promote it. And I know people go, well, why would they promote it? Well, I mean, let's be honest. You know, every other sport promotes things they don't approve of. I mean, baseball doesn't approve of fighting, but guess what? When the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees get together, you see a lot of classic clips of look at them going at it. And I mean, they all got fined and suspended in those days. And NFL, same thing. NBA, same thing. Just because I think the one exception might be that one night in Detroit where, I mean, it was just an absolute, madhouse for the Detroit Pistons. But overall, sports are pretty consistent about the fact that, yeah, we don't agree with this, but there's also the marketing aspect of it because, like you said, we're trying to draw viewers. And if it has that certain uncertainty about it, like, oh, my God, they might go at it. There are people that watch hockey just because, guess what? You might see trading a little ones and twos, a couple of haymakers out there.
Yeah, I know a few people who are like, they just watch for the fights. And
so I think that I think people that get a little too, I don't know, they get a little too up in arms about the so-called hypocrisy. If you're technical, it is hypocrisy, but I don't see that same standard being held to the mainstream stick and ball sports. So it's just something to think about. I think there's some hypocrisy there from some NASCAR fans because, again, we don't hold every other sport to that same standard, in my estimation at least. All right, let's move it along. One other big topic we got to touch on is tomorrow it appears that the SHR drivers are going to learn a lot more about the future of the organization going forward. Matt, have you seen this, and what are your thoughts?
I have seen it, and I've seen some other things that – you know, I don't know if it's relevant to it or not. You know, we saw Dale Jr. now getting a patent for the number 8. And knowing that he's always kind of in the conversation of buying a cup charter, and with the news around SHR now either dropping 2 charters, dropping off 4 charters, like, I think they're just all over the place, and we're really going to find out tomorrow what's the big deal. I don't want to see them leave. I would much rather see them, you know, drop down to 2 charters. I did also see that, you know, there's a rumor of NASCAR going, like, you know, telling teams to drop down to 3 charters altogether. I don't know how much truth is into that. But yeah, there's been so much going on with Stuart Haas. Like, you know, Tony's not there anymore. Basically, he's all about the NHRI side now. You know, Gene's over in Europe most of the time, and with, you know, the F1 team. You know, there's really no boss being around, so whether they cease to exist as an NASCAR team, you know, I would be sad to see that go because I was really excited when they first got together back in 2009. But now it's just, you know, with as many issues Tony's had with NASCAR, you know, they, you know, doesn't really want anything to do with them now anymore. They're, you know, their team's not performing very well. you know, a couple of guys like Chase Briscoe and Josh Berry we've seen have picked up the slack. So I mean, Noah Gregson's really turned the season around too. Ryan Preece isn't really cutting it though, and I don't know. Like I said, I'd much rather than see them sell two charters and put more resources in their two top guys, rather than dissolve the whole operation. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, tomorrow appears again. You know, you never know, but tomorrow sure seems like it's going to be a big day in the NASCAR world as far as what's going to happen to Stuart Haas and what the future might hold. You know, we'll see. Maybe we don't get our answers tomorrow. You never know until you know, right? But look, we've speculated a boatload on this show for a while about what SHR might, take place. To be clear, it sucks to see anyone lose their jobs because it's not just Ryan Preece or Josh Berry or Noah Gregson or Chase Briscoe. There's a ton of crew members and family members that are depending on that check to live a good life for their families. And so that's awful that so much uncertainty is swimming around them right now. And I'm glad, though, that because while it feels like we've been speculating a lot about SHR, and we have in recent weeks, I'm glad that whatever's about to take place, it appears that Tony Stewart and Gene Haas aren't going to drag out any longer, and they're going to let everybody know so you can start making your plans, whatever that may be. Like you, I hold out hope that maybe it's just a merger and not a complete shutdown or just dropping charters, but we'll see what happens tomorrow, and we of course we'll talk about it at length next week. I don't know. Tony Stewart just gained a new passion in HRA. He's getting ready to start a family with his wife, and like you said, Gene's over in Europe a lot. Frankly, I don't mean to kick on SHR while they're down. There's not a bigger indictment of how they're being ran right now when Kevin Harvick said the biggest difference is that he saw the owner twice in like 2 weeks for Hendrick Motorsports, and he apparently didn't experience that the last couple of years at SHR.
It's sad, but it makes sense because, with Tony and Gene on doing other ventures,
at the very least, there's no way they can be as hands-on as they previously have been.
Yeah.
At the very least.
And at least with Hendrick Motorsports, Rick Hendrick's the top, he's the sole owner at the moment, but Jeff Gordon's basically the other main guy controlling, calling the shots, something like that. So he's always around because, Hendrick Automotive Group has to look after as well. So he's not always going to be there, but he does come around.
Yeah, he's there, and then of course Jeff Gordon and just a Chad Knauss, a host of other people. I don't know, we'll see what happens with Stuart Haas. But if Tony has lost the passion, as he's alluded to, essentially, he's never said that he's lost the passion before, but you can just tell that his standing, his opinion of NASCAR, his value of NASCAR is not what it once was. And so we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I kind of fear the worst, if that makes sense. So we'll see what happens, and we'll talk about it. We'll break it down next week. North Wilkesboro is set to be the all-star race again in 2025. I'm just going to touch on this quickly. Until the short track package gets better, it doesn't mean much. It's fun. It's cool. It's nostalgic. It's great for that community. I know they fought hard to get it back. But this car is not conducive to good short track racing right now, and that's got to be fixed because short track racing is one of the breads and butters of the sport, so to speak. So going to be interesting there, but until we get this short track package figured out, man, I don't know.
I will say the only light in that sort of dark tunnel of the short track package, for North Wilkesboro is that, the good thing about it being the All-Star race is that during that week, we see the Cars Tour come in and, we see the PLM and the, late model stock, class of the Car Store race as well. So that's why we've been able to see guys like Brennan Butterbean Queen, who had a top five at North Wilkesboro a couple weeks ago. And, guys like Carson Quapple has come through the Xfinity Series as well. So it's cool to see, and it gets more exposure for the NASCAR fans going and watching the late model series.
Yeah, it's wonderful for that community. It's wonderful for exposure. And then lastly, before we move on to our weekend preview, I want to touch on Carl Edwards, Ricky Rudd, Mal Mooney, Dean Sicking were voted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Carl Edwards was kind of a controversial name among us NASCAR fans as far as getting in the Hall of Fame or not getting in. I just want your thoughts quickly. Should Carl Edwards have gotten in? He is in. That's no debate anymore. But I want your thoughts on it.
I don't see why not. He's got a Busch Series championship. You know, there are much less deserving drivers that are in the Hall of Fame right now. If there's one person in that class that I don't think should be in it, would be Ricky Rudd. And I mean, you know, yes, he's got the Ironman streak. He's, you know, most consecutive starts in the Cup Series, but the wins aren't there. Just no, you know, Daytona 500 championships. There's no Cup or Xfinity Series championship. It's just what he has is the Ironman streak. Mm-hmm. At least Carl Edwards has that Busch Series championship under his name to say, hey, mm-hmm. you know, and I've made the playoffs X amount of years, you know, should he have won the 2016 championship? I mean, people can debate that all the time.
You can make that argument, yeah.
Yeah. It sucked seeing him retire early right at the end of that race. I hated Logano for doing what he did in that race, but is what it is. But I do think he is deserving of that Hall of Fame ballot.
I agree. I know it's been a bit of a controversial discussion, but I agree. I think Carl deserves it. All right, we got to keep moving along. So it's time for our weekend preview. All right, we are at Gateway as far as Cup and trucks go at the Worldwide Technology Raceway. Xfinity's in Portland. What are your thoughts on Gateway? Well, you know, do you like it? Are you excited for it? What's your take?
I haven't seen enough of it to really have a big opinion in the Cup Series. I like it in the trucks. I think it's a unique kind of, you know, 1 mile oval that's pretty banked all the way around. But it's also narrow too in the same aspect. I don't know. It's had its moments, especially when we saw Ross Chastain a couple years ago to bully everyone on the track.
He had places to be.
Yeah, in a hurry. I'm looking forward to the weekend watching it. I don't know, Portland, I'm still not, you know, like road circuits and whatnot like that. I'm just still not fully convinced on. Like street circuits, like it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a good show regardless. But no, this time of year, it's starting to get like you've got a bit of a bland stretch of the next couple of races before we start getting to your Michigans, your Watkins Glens and stuff like that. Coming up, so
bit of a lull for our man Matt Marr. We'll see what happens. IndyCar is having their Detroit Grand Prix. NHRA is doing the New England Nationals in New Hampshire. F1 is off. They'll be back on the 9th. All right, so we gotta move close to wrapping this up. So that means it's time for our Racing Refresh picks. All right, producer Peggy, come on in here, please, since Adam is not with us this evening. Would you update us on the results and the score? Let us know.
Yes. So, Logan won last week. Well, not last week. We didn't make picks for the Coke 600. So, when I say last week, I mean North Wilkesboro. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He picked Denny Hamlin, who finished second. And then I was second. Adam was third. We never got Colin's pick, so he was last.
All right, so our score is Colin bringing up the rear at 27. I've tied Adam at 30, means I'm coming. Producer Peggy, you're still in the lead.
Yep.
All right, so how's the picking order going this week, Peggy?
The picking order, we will let Matt go first. So, Matt, who are you picking?
We're at Gateway. I'm actually probably going to go with Tyler Reddick.
All right, Tyler Reddick. Yeah, not a bad pick. Who's next, Peggy?
Collins next because he finished last. We actually got his pick, and he picked. Who did he pick?
Christopher Bell, I believe.
Christopher Bell, the Coke 600 winner.
375.
Whatever. Next was Adam. Adam picked Kyle Busch. Next is me. I'm taking Martin Truex.
Well, little stage winner and DJ. All right.
And last but not least is Logan.
I got reflection perfection every morning in the mirror, boys. Who am I going to take this week to get it done? That's a great, great question. You know what? I'll take Austin Cindric.
I think he's
a little bit. I would say that's a good pick, but wow. I'll keep my comments to myself.
Let's be professional here, all right? Come on now. All right, so everybody's got their picks made. And so that means it's time to bring another episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour home. And that means it's time for closing time. Apparently my dog's not happy about that. But no matter what, you don't have to get off the internet, but you can't stay at this particular link. Matt Maher, final words.
Thanks again for having me. I would love being a part of the show. I still... My thoughts in my brain about this past weekend is just nuts, still going around. So hopefully this race weekend is going to clear that up and make me have happier thoughts. but yeah, it's great to be back. Hopefully I'm here more consistently as well. So,
look, I don't make those decisions, but I'll certainly put the good word in for you, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For subbing in and being our super sub here the last couple weeks. We greatly, greatly appreciate it, and we appreciate what you bring. Producer Peggy, final words?
I'm going to watch Ryan Blaney win at Gateway or Worldwide Technology Raceway. And I feel like coming from a military family, I should say that Memorial Day is our most expensive holiday, not because of the fireworks we buy or the packs of hot dogs we buy, but because of the lives people lose and the families that get broken. So I think that's an important thing to remember on this day.
Couldn't agree with you more, Producer Peggy. Do want to take a note and just say thank you for spending part of Memorial Day with us and for our friends here in the good old U.S. of A. Yes, let's take a second tonight as we put our head on the pillow and remember what this holiday is all about. There's a lot of people that have fought and died and for our freedom and for our rights. And as Peggy said, a lot of families have been broken. But let's end this on a brighter note. Look, I think we might get a full race in this weekend. And we had better, or else I'm going to have a conniption. Frankly, my health can't handle it, folks. My health can't handle it. You have no idea the amount of noise I was making at Peggy's house last night when they said this thing's been called. I was stomping around the living room.
He was very mad.
Mother trucker. But anywho, Matt, thank you for coming on. Peggy, thank you for pushing the buttons. Adam, thanks for nothing. You couldn't bother to show up. At least Colin's got his job and he's working. Lazy son of a... Anywho, we love that guy with all our hearts. And so here's what we hope. We hope that you've had a wonderful holiday weekend. And we hope you've taken time to reflect on the true meaning of it. And we hope like hell we'll see you next week on Racing Refresh. And until then, we know that we'll see you at the next track.